Yes, Lord, thank you. Praise your name, dear Father. We praise your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. We seek you, Lord, right now, Father. We seek your face, Father. You are our good Father. We desire to be close to you, Lord. We desire to rest in your peace. We seek you first, Father. What does it mean to give? What does it mean to serve? When God says, give it all to me, what does he ask us? When we seek him, he reveals who he is. Has changed forever. Yes. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have a treasure in heaven. And then come. Follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home for or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is God's word. Because he is calling us right now. He is choosing us. He has chosen us and He is calling us, and we have a choice to follow and to seek Him. Dear Father, we praise Your name, Father. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence this day in this place. We just thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are real, that You are alive, and You are in us, Father. We pray for those that are not here right now, Lord, touch them. We ask, Lord, that we lift them up to You, Lord. We just ask, Lord, right now, that You reveal to them who You are. And as we are praising and worshiping You, and as we walk boldly in our faith, Father, that You will do great things in and through us. We praise Your name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I just want to thank God for His presence this morning, because I know I felt it. I know that God is alive and active here today. So I just want to give Him the glory as we get into His word. The topic today that God put upon my heart to share with you is about anointing and the anointed. And it didn't start that way, but God revealed to me the importance of this word. So through revelation, this is God's word to you. We are saved for a purpose, and we are anointed for God's purpose. And who here desires to press in and walk in what God has planned for you in your life, which is your anointing, which is to serve God with all your heart, and it's willing to lose everything to gain it all? Jesus' kingdom. As we read in Mark chapter 10, that's what Jesus was saying. And I must have read that passage many a times. And every time God reveals to me a truth and what He is actually saying here. So I just thank God for the revelation. You are holy, and you have a desire. It's a holy desire when you accept Christ to serve God and to follow God, which outweighs your worldly desires to serve yourself. So when you think about making a choice in life, you have to think, is it a choice for God, or is it a choice for me and for what the world wants? God gives us that choice. We have the free will to make that choice. But He also has given us His Spirit to come down upon us in our time of need to make better choices. And that's when God calls you. You feel a desire in your heart that is overwhelming to follow. And that is following your calling and walking in your anointing. Because we are anointed for victory. In Psalm 20, verse 6, God's word, "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand." In the NIV version, it reads, "the saving power of His right hand." And we know who sits at the right hand, and that's Jesus. So what does anointed mean? It means to consecrate or make sacred in a ceremony that includes the token applying of oil, to dedicate to the service of God. And the purpose of our anointing is to proclaim the gospel, worship the Lord with all our heart, sacrifice, and ask to make all the sacrifices to gain eternal life, to rule with authority that Christ has given us, to heal, to restore hope to the brokenhearted, and to make ready, which is prepare others for their calling. So this is what God has put in our lives, our purpose, our calling, and who we are. Also, when we're anointed for our ministry, God enables us, he entrusts us, and he empowers us to accomplish his will. So he just doesn't drop us here and say, okay, go ahead. We are in accordance with his will. He equips us and he enables us in our time of need when we feel we don't have what it takes to do God's will. He trusts us because he's called us and chosen us from the beginning, that we are the person that's called to do his will. Not anyone else. When God calls you to do what he wants you to do, he's calling you specifically. And then he empowers us and gives us supernatural strength that we have not of our own. There is nothing that we cannot do outside of in our own strength, but we have all power in Christ. So really what it means is to be anointed and to walk in that anointing is God is entrusting us to do his will. At times when I feel God calling me, I might not always want to do what he's telling me to do. And I might not be the only person here. But I know the difference when I am walking in his will, when I am walking in the anointing of God. I do feel those things. I do feel enabled. I feel entrusted and I feel empowered beyond my own strength, beyond anything that I could comprehend in my own being. But I do feel that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. There is nothing that I cannot do. And you might say, well, does that happen all the time? I pray every day that I'm able to walk in God's will. I have a choice when I wake up. It's to serve the Lord, serve myself in this or this world. I believe in my heart, when God calls his anointed, they have a desire deep down inside that they cannot turn away from, that it causes them to want to follow in their calling. It might not be always what they want. It might not always be the way they'd like it to be, and it might not always feel good. But you got to trust that God is calling you for a purpose. And we don't even understand some of the things that God has called us to do. There's a reason he doesn't want us to. He wants us to act out in faith. He wants us to trust in him as he's trusted in us. And he's called us special, chosen by him to do only the will of God. So we have been given that anointing with the authority of God if we choose to serve God, not ourselves. But we lose that anointing when we choose not to serve him. But we got to be careful and not confuse losing our salvation. When we say yes to Jesus, we are saved, and we are saved forever. There's a difference. When we choose not to follow the Lord and we turn our back on him, his hand might not be on us, but he is there. We are turning away from what God's will and plan is on our life and wanting to do our own thing. He is still there. We are still saved. We are still a child of God. But he is not able to use us the way he wants us to use us. He wants to use us in a certain way. And we are, for whatever reason, not following. So that anointing, that power, and that feeling of enablement and to be able to do what God is calling us to do wanes. So when the enemy comes against us, we get distracted. When things get tough, we don't look to God, but we look to man. When we don't have the answers, we call out, and he is there, and he will answer. And then, through the grace of God and the mercy of God, he draws us back in. He gives us another chance to make it right. He gives us another opportunity to serve him the way he's designed us from the beginning. And our hearts start to change, and we start to become transformed into who God actually created us to be. But we cannot do that unless we are walking in his will and his anointing in our lives. I want you to ask the Lord to reveal to you how he wants you to serve him. When you do that, revelation comes. Through revelation is knowledge, and wisdom is your action upon that. So look for those opportunities to actually go and serve God and ask God to reveal his will. And then when you follow, you will see the direction he has you in. At times when things are just not the way they seem and you're following a path that you just don't, you're not sure of, God is always there. He's always guiding you when you know that you're walking in the anointed. At times, though, when we walk away, we got to search our hearts and say, am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I fulfilling the purpose and destiny on my life that God has called me? Or am I doing what I want to do? So as we search our hearts, we realize at times things are not going to go our way, and we get into a position where we start to have doubt. And are we looking to God for our strength? And are we looking to God for guidance? Are we repenting for the lack of faith and giving him praise for every victory, no matter what the circumstance? Or are we complaining and questioning God? This is very important, so you need to take a moment and think about it and look around, and I guarantee you, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, you open your eyes, you look around, and God will reveal a blessing. You will see a blessing. But you have to take the time to stop feeling sorry for yourself and feeling the woe is me, to give him the opportunity to present the blessing to you. Because now you're walking out of who you are and into who he is. We are anointed to do the following: discern truth, testify to the truth. We are anointed to pray, live righteously, have power and strength, to be led by God, live in joy, live with hope, receive spiritual gifts, and bear spiritual fruit. These are things that God has anointed us to do. when we start to see these things transpire in our lives and we start to see how God is using us, we're going to be able to actually see spiritual fruit. Something that you cannot see on your own. When you're calling out to God and He is answering your prayer and you're walking in that anointed and He is guiding you, you will see supernaturally and hear supernaturally things that you would not hear otherwise. Because you're in tune to the anointing. You're in tune to what God has called you to. And the distractions of the world go away. You'll hear things that before you would just dismiss, but now you know that that was God speaking to you. And how do you know? Because you have the anointing. You're walking with it. You're actually living it. You're actually feeling it. You're trusting it. It's who you are. And when you do that, God does things in the supernatural that you cannot see in the natural. You will not be able to inherit it in the natural. You will be able to understand it only in the supernatural. So what is it that qualifies us to be anointed by God? It is our heart. And we talk about opening our hearts to God. We can come here, and we can sit here, and we can listen to God's word. But if our heart's closed and our heart is hardened, God cannot, His word cannot go in and do what it needs to. You will hear, the seeds will be planted, but your heart needs to be open and it needs to receive God's good word. And He searches our hearts. He knows our heart because He's created us. And here is an example in the Bible of two kings and about what God means when He says, I'm looking for a man after my own heart, because God searches our hearts. King Saul was from a tribe of Benjamin, mighty warriors, chosen, anointed by God to be king of Israel. And Saul, when he was confronted by God for his disobedience, he tried to reason with God. He tried to justify his behavior, and thus God disqualified him and rejected him for the purpose which He has called him and His anointing. God could not use him. God cannot excuse sin. You cannot rationalize with Him. He cannot excuse it. What God can do is forgive sin. And here we see the difference with David. From the tribe of Judah, the lineage of Jesus, chosen and anointed by God to be king of Israel, just like Saul. But David had his faults, and David had a lot of faults, as you read in the Bible. Just as Saul. But when confronted by God, David acknowledged his sin, he repented, and he asked God for forgiveness. So God honors that. He anointed David as king. God will honor that, but that's what He's looking for. He's looking for your heart. He's looking deep inside to see where your heart is. Do you have a heart for God like David did? You cannot hide it. You cannot disguise it. God knows. He sees it. So the difference between the two kings was their heart. One had a heart for God, to serve God, and the other, because he did not admit sin, defied God, and was not being able to be used by God to fulfill his calling. So you've been chosen by God not because of your own self-worth, because of who you are in Christ. God exalts the humble and He exalts the meek. In Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. He looks to exalt and lift up the humble and the meek, so he can pour into his people his strength and who he is. Less of us, more of him. In Acts 13, verse 22, we read, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. And God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" So God has called him, even though he was not perfect, sort of like us, not perfect, in need of a Savior, in need of grace, in need of mercy. God gave him grace because he knew his heart. He knew the heart that King David had. He knew that he would follow him. In Acts 13, God says this about David. "He was a man after my own heart, and he will do everything I want him to do." He knew that he would follow what God asked him to do, that he would put down his life for God and follow. So God searches our heart. In Romans 8:27, "He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So as we read there that God's Spirit intercedes for his people in accordance with his will. But he knows our heart. In the Old Testament, God outlines the character of a king. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 through 20, when God speaks, he's very, very precise how to build the tabernacle, the commandments, exactly what he wants. There is no open-ended. There is no interpretation. God is clear. In verse 14, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you and take in possession of it and settle in it, and you say, 'Let us set a king over us like all the nations around us.'" So Israel wanted a king. "Be sure," God's word says, "be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself or make the people turn to Egypt to get more of them, for the Lord has told you you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taking from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn, to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites and turn from the law or the right to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel." Here we read that God is warning the people of Israel, and he's also stating promises to the kings, to the people of Israel, when they choose their king. The king must be humble, the king must be obedient to God, and the king is called to serve the people, not to be lifted higher than the people. So as we, being king, princes and princesses of the Most High King, we are called to do the same. We have that calling. But we must be humble, we must be obedient, we must be willing to serve. And we cannot put ourselves above others. That's the difference. So how could David's past transgressions qualify him as the anointed king of Israel? God knew his heart. David was a man after his own heart, and God loved that. And David loved the Lord. He had a desire to serve, and God knew that he would do what God had asked him to do. That was the biggest difference. So as we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, use me. When God does call, we are anointed to be used by God. What is it that we're saying to him? He knows our heart. We can make excuses. We can put on a facade. We can make up stories. But God knows your heart. He will give you opportunities to serve. And when I look around, I see all the people that are here today that serve the Lord. It makes my heart sing. As I walked in today and as I was in the back and I saw the worship, they're here. Their desire is to worship. That's what God has called them. They have a desire and they are following it. They're not going to let anything stand in their way. When I see people up and down the aisles dancing and singing and praising God, they're not concerned about what anybody else is saying or doing. They're beyond that. All they want to do is worship him at his feet. They want to give to him. They want to serve him. They want him to take their life and just do what it is that he's called to do, to be who he's called them to be. He's not concerned about what the world is. They're not concerned about what the world is saying. Their desire is to hear what God is saying. So then we come to the one who anoints and qualifies us, and that is Jesus Christ. He qualifies us as the anointed. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed. The word Messiah or Christ means anointed. In Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. The anointing of God was on him. So as we look at ourselves, do we say we have Christ in us? God has anointed our lives. We accept Jesus. We are anointed by the blood of Christ. We have that anointing through the blood of Christ. We can do the things that Christ did while he was here because he's given us the Spirit to do it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 18. That's God's word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We have the anointing. We can do those things. Proclaim good news to the poor. That's what the purpose of the anointing is. Set the captives free. Free the oppressed. Heal the blind and the sick. So when you become born again, you are anointed by God through the blood. So the example I have about the anointing I'm going to use is my wife. I really didn't understand what that sort of meant, but just being around her, I've always had the sense. But sensing and knowing are two different things. Now I know. There's nothing that's going to stop her from pressing in. There's no difficulty in life that's going to get her off the track that God has called her to be on. And by that example, I look and I say, well, what makes her special? She has the power of God in her. She doesn't have to say a thing, but she carries that in her every day because she is anointed by God. She has a heart for God that I would never I could not even understand, but I could never describe. Only God knows. And she has a desire deep down to serve the Lord. We all have that if we're here, because we have a purpose and we have a destiny. When we say yes to Jesus, we're not looking back at what things, how things were, what things, who we were. We're looking forward. We are going to become into agreement with the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender all. I say yes. And when people say, well, Bob, what kind of religion are you? They don't understand. God is not a religion. He's a person. He is someone who we have an intimate relationship with, not just someone we read about. And when we say, Lord, reveal yourself, be prepared, because he will. And yet, when he does, he's going to ask you to follow. And are we willing to follow? Are we willing, like the rich man? He bowed his head and walked away. He had all the riches of this world, but he did not have eternal life. He did not have glory with God. So when we say yes to God, we come into agreement with him. We know God has chosen us, he has anointed us, and he is calling us to do his will, so that we can fulfill our destiny. So as my son right now is in Africa, God has anointed him to do great things. I trust in the Lord that he is safe. I trust in the Lord that he's going to fulfill his promises in his life. And I trust in God that he will come back changed forever. Because that's what we're all called to do. As we walk in this life, we are called for change. We are called to grow in knowledge of who we are in Christ, and we're called to do the great works of the Lord. So God reminds us through the Holy Spirit that we are called. We are anointed for God's purpose, and he has given us victory in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking you right now to proclaim that there is nothing that is going to stop us from that calling, from fulfilling our destiny as the anointed children of God. At times it might look hopeless, but we are anointed by the God of hope. We will not lose hope. We will persevere. With God, all things are possible. God has poured out his Spirit on our life. We are anointed, and we have the victory. So I just want to encourage you right now that if you're on the fence about which way to go, and you're wrestling with something inside you that you're feeling, you're overwhelmed, and you don't know, that is not God. That's confusion. That's the enemy. You need to make a choice. You need to decide where you're going. You make the choice of where you're going. God is there waiting for you, but you have to choose. So if you decide that this is the time that you want to be able to put the worldly possessions aside and the ways of this world aside, to say, Lord, you have anointed me. I feel your anointing on my life. Now it's time for me to move forward in that anointing. I want the victory. I don't want to be where I am and stay here. I want to grow. I want to be able to fulfill my destiny. I want to be able to fulfill the calling in my life. And I'm saying yes. So as a body, if there's anyone here, I'm going to ask my wife and Maria to come up. If you're not sure that God's anointing is on you and you're wrestling with something, it's because God is calling you to do something very special. He's calling you right now. He is drawing you in. And it's up to us now to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. And even if I'm not prepared, you will prepare the way. Even if I don't feel like I have the strength, you will give me that strength. Even if I feel at times that I cannot do it, you'll give me what it takes to get to accomplish the goal. So I'm asking right now, please, if there is anyone here that either does not know the Lord and wants to give their life to God and accept Jesus in their heart, come up for prayer. We will pray for you for that. If there's anyone here that feels an anointing on their life and they feel like God is calling them and they want to take that step of faith and say, Lord, use me. I want to go. I want to follow. Nothing's going to hold me back. I'm not going to be going back and forth thinking who I am. I know who I am. And I choose you, Lord. So I'm asking right now, if there's someone here right now and they're not sure God's anointing is on them and they just want either a fresh anointing of that just to get them back on track again, please, if you're not sure, come up here. The altar is open.